This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.
Hey guys, you're listening to another episode of Redefining the Counterculture right here on Witten Radio. Today we've got a special music guest for you. We're joined by Finn Kloss, pianist of the band The Picture Books. Finn, how's it going?
Hey, doing great. Yeah, we just finished a video shoot over the weekend, and that was kind of the first day off we had in a while, and enjoying the nice California desert right now.
Wow, that is awesome. That is awesome. I love the process of like creating music videos and like everything that goes into it, because it's essentially you're putting, you know, a visual imagery to, you know, the story, which is a song.
Yeah.
And so it's always so cool. What was it like for you shooting this video? Did it come pretty easy, or was it kind of arduous?
Well, oh man, that's the story here. So we actually started shooting this video 4 weeks ago, and it was here in Yucca Valley in California. And you know, part of the video is because we build choppers, you know, and ride choppers, obviously. And part of the video is us doing that here in the desert. Obviously, a lot more going on, but like, so we're like riding around. And my dad, he is the producer and manager of the band, and he does all the videos and photos of us too. And he was on the side of the road, kind of checking back off the footage that we filmed that day. I mean, the day was awesome, and we were kind of like, hey, we're going to see what's up on that hill. And he's like, okay, I'm going to stay here. So he was on the side of the road in the middle of the desert, you know. And so we're going up to the hill, kind of left him there for 50 minutes or so, came back, and he was lying on the ground. And we're like, what's going on here? Like, I was like, I stopped my bike, went to him, like, what's going on? He's like, oh, I'm in pain. And, like, ambulance came. And what happened was he was hit by a car. It was a hit and run. And he was in the fucking hospital for like 3 weeks, and I don't know how he did it, but he kind of almost fully recovered. And this weekend, with a bunch of friends of ours, who was like, I mean, you know, we're skaters, so skateboard friends, and actually they're into bikes too, helped us out. It was great, you know, a lot of people helped us out, and we finished that video this weekend. So that video means a lot to us, because I kind of like almost lost my dad. Shooting
yeah.
this video, so finishing
Absolutely.
It yesterday was just a very, very good moment.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Yeah, it's crazy that something like that happened, you know, because you hear about, you know, hit and runs and stuff like that, but I'm sure it's a different feeling when it's somebody that you know, that it's happened to, so...
Yeah, well, it's a typical thing, you know. It's like, you never think this will happen to you, and then all of a sudden it happens. I mean, it sounds so cheeseballs what I'm saying now, but like, it's kind of reality. It's like, yeah, it's just moments like these where you just feel like, oh man, everything's so fragile, you know. Everything can just end in a second, and you're just like up on a hill coming down, and then like your dad is lying in the middle of the desert, like. What's going on here? It was a shocker. It was crazy. But I don't want to even think about the bad part about it, because like, I'm just thankful and happy, and you know, actually things kind of turned out for the better now. The video is a lot better now, and I don't know. It was one of these moments, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. What is it like working closely with your father? I know you know, sometimes parents, you know, have the ability to either be really supportive or really overbearing or really not caring. But it sounds like your father cares about you guys a lot and really wants to see you succeed. What is it like for you on a personal level working with your father?
First of all, well, you know, the relationship is, I can see how people have different relationships with their parents in general, and it's not like all my friends are like that with their dads and moms and whatnot, but my family has always been just very, very supportive in what I'm doing. And I'm not I don't mean like in soccer mom, if you know what I mean, supportive. Mm-hmm. I mean like it didn't matter what I was doing, they would support me. You know what I mean? Like it was great. It was I've always loved that and appreciated that. Like even before music and everything. I mean, my dad used to be a pro skateboarder in the 80s, and he was in a lot of bands. He was doing really good in Europe. They were touring all over the place and stuff like that. So I kind of grew up in a tour bus. So I went that route because I didn't really know anything else to do.
Yeah.
You know, that was what I was doing anyway all my life, you know. So I just kind of continued doing it. But he was just always... He was, you know, like, he kind of, especially in the beginning, he kind of left me alone. Not alone, it sounds negative, but, like, and, like, he kind of let me go, like, find what I want to do music-wise and everything. He loved that I was doing it, but, like, he didn't want to, like, talk me into something. And at some point, I kind of went to him. I remember that day, actually. I was like, because he had a studio and everything, like, I think I'm ready. I think I want to record something. And from then on, it kind of, the picture book started. That was like 12 years ago.
Man, that's awesome. That is awesome.
And that was with Philip, too. That was like the drummer. Like, that was the beginning of the picture books.
Man, that is amazing. How did you meet Philip? Because you guys make, like, this amazing duo. It's like you almost feed off each other. Where did you guys meet, and kind of what was the circumstances behind you guys meeting?
Philip and I met in the local skate park in our hometown, and it's called Gütersloh. It's in the belly button of Germany. It's right in the middle. It's a very small town. There's not a lot of stuff going on. It was kind of like the only people that were into the stuff we were into back then. You know, like our friends weren't listening to like what we were listening to band-wise. Like we were into David Bowie, but also like Minor Threat and like. You know, like, all this, like, different kinds of music and also, like, blues and stuff, but not the blues that, like, other people in my hometown would listen to. They listen to, like, clean cut, you know, normal blues bands, kind of, like, drawing by numbers kind of blues. Like, we were into, like, different stuff. We were into Velvet Underground or, like, real early blues, you know, like...
Yeah.
You know, like, for me, like, that's, like, the real blues kind of. And so people were... In Gütersloh, they weren't like that. So Philip and I kind of naturally came together and were skating every day, hung out every day, and at some point kind of decided to make a band. Both of us didn't know how to play an instrument, nothing. Like, till this day, I can't play a chord. It's all self-invented open chords mostly that I play. And we became best friends, and, like, the first week we met and... actually, I think, hung out every day since that day when we met at the skate park. It's like
wow.
She's like my wife, or like, however you want to put it. It's like, I shared a bed with that dude more often than I did with my girlfriend, and I've been together with my girlfriend for 10 years, so that kind of shows you how close we are.
That's crazy. That is awesome. That is awesome. So you guys are known for just the instruments that you play with. Like, I know that you collect and play with, you know, these obscure, like, vintage guitars that you
mm-hmm.
purchase from thrift stores around the world. And Philip,
yeah.
You know, has this, like, huge drum set. That's so cool. Like, when did that start? Is that, like... it seems like it's almost like a ritual that you guys have. When did you guys start, and when did you, I guess, realize that that was like your style, so to speak?
Well, you know, that goes way back. I mean, you obviously at the beginning, especially when you never played an instrument for real, we were obviously like testing out what we want to do. But at a very early stage, we kind of felt there's a potential, and people told us there's it sounds really good what we're doing. We kind of got a basis too. We were a three-piece for a while, and actually like released two albums with that, and they were pretty successful in Germany. And you know, like we learned, like every year we learned more about what we really wanted to do. and at some point a bassist went a different direction, and that was like kind of like a wake up call for us, for like, okay, let's do this thing that we've always talked about that we want to do, that duo that's just kind of less is more, stripped down, you know, like almost like we always say, like, you know, like driven blues, you know, like we always wanted to do something blues, but we always felt like, man, we're like from Germany, you know, like we're young dudes from Germany.
Yeah.
Blues is for people that have something to say, that have an opinion, and like, you know, like these old dudes that kind of tell you how life works. Like, well, who am I to, you know, to do that? Like, I can't tell people how life works and stuff. Like, and you know, that was always something we were really scared of to try. But we just kind of, at some point, at that point, especially when we were on our, like, just me and Philip, and actually in our motorcycle garage where we repair and build our bikes. And we just kind of went with it, and that was kind of what was happening, like that stripped down stuff that we're doing. We got rid of the cymbals, because if you see Philip play live, he bashes his drum bit like crazy. So at some point, we couldn't afford them anyway anymore, and he was just not playing those cymbals anymore. The drums just, like every week when I came back into the practice room, the drums got bigger and bigger, and we did a bunch of trips to America back then, and kind of just, you know, like lost ourselves in the desert type of stuff was going on, and got real inspired by Native American music and stuff like that. And every time we came back from these trips, we basically, I don't know, like reinvented ourselves more and more. It was 3 years almost, I think, or 2 years of just doing this, like getting inspired, see what we want to do, and then came up with what we're doing now, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Another thing was like the whole recording technique that we do. You know, we record everything with two microphones 12 feet away from us in that garage, you know, and all the sound, like the reverb you hear on the album, that's all the natural sound of that room. So that was also something like we had to figure out, because like every time we were writing these songs and playing them in our in the garage, when we went into the studio, that the studio is right next door to the garage. It's on a farm. It's like a little barn that's underrated. It's a bigger barn that we completely build a studio in. And every time we went into that studio, it sounded very predictable, very normal. So we kind of went. All, like, you know, like, took all those, like, close mics and what you usually do to record a song, and kind of did everything wrong, like, you know, and recorded it in a room that had no carpet, nothing, just, like, stone everywhere and bikes and metal around, and then everything was rattling and stuff like that, but
right.
All of a sudden it had that character we were looking for, if you know what I mean, that vibe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's, you know, that's so cool, because it really, it gives, like you said, it gives the album the vibe, but it also gives like a whole new, I guess, life or essence of life to your music. And when I listen to, you know, some of your earlier stuff, you're right, there's such a distinct sound to it that it almost feels like it's this, I don't know, it's like this, parts of it seem like eerie, but it feels like you're there, you know, like I'm right there in the room with you. And that's something
that
really stands out to me, you know, with your music. And I think it, you know, it definitely makes you, what you guys do, unique. And
awesome. Well, I'd love to hear that. Obviously, I mean, that's obviously what we're trying to do. A lot of the stuff, too, you know, is when we record, a lot of the stuff is improvised on the album. I'd be like, 50 to maybe even 80% of the album is just stuff that happened in the moment. There's songs like on Home is a Heartache, there's a song called Inner Demons.
Yeah.
That's a complete improvisation. It was, I kind of knew a riff that I wanted to play, and Philip kind of knew about the riff, and it was just, all right, let's go, let's do it. And
wow.
There it was. It was just there, you know. I kind of told Philip what I was like, we had a little idea. I've been I've been getting these crazy panic attacks on tour, and it's very close now, but I'm over that stuff now. But like, it was really bad. Like, I got them on stage and stuff, but like, it was weird because like, I from the outside, it didn't look like I got them, but inside, I was like, I don't know, I was afraid to death for no reason.
Wow.
And kind of, I told Philip, like, I want to kind of do that in this song. Like, I want to have that, you know, like, that panic always builds up. It's like, it starts real slow, and then it comes, and it builds up to, like, a peak, and then it kind of slows down, and I go back to normal. And I just wanted to show that, like, inner demons, that's kind of what that song was like. You know, like, it was, we knew what we wanted to do, but actually didn't.
Hey, I mean, I think that makes it really, really, like, cool, though. I mean, because it's, you know, you're trying to, you know, convey this thing that was happening to you, and who knows? I mean, there's probably listeners of yours out there that, you know, battle the same thing, you know, panic attacks.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
And so, I mean, the fact that you were open and, you know, you're sharing that, like, in your music, I think is, like, you know, it's very commendable, because I think, you know, by you sharing your experience, like, you're probably helping somebody else, you know, not even knowing, you know.
Yeah,
unbeknownst
could
to
be,
you, so.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually didn't think that far. Yeah, you're right.
It's okay. So your newest album it's set to be released March 10th of this year, and it's called Home
yeah.
is a Heartache. Tell me a little bit about, because you touched a little bit on, you know, the process of creating the album. What's the meaning behind the title?
Yeah, well, you know, with the album before Imaginary Horse, with that album, we were basically constantly on tour for 3 years, constantly, just all over the place. And it was a great time. It was, you know, like, all this crazy stuff was happening, and you know, we're this band from Gütersloh, this small town in Germany, just like these two skaters that ride choppers, and all of a sudden, like, we're on tour doing what we love and seeing these places we thought we will never see, and all this crazy stuff was happening. Like, we were in a drive-by shooting in
holy
New Mexico,
crap.
Actually, and like, right by the club, and like, a bullet struck me on my arm, and it was bleeding. I went on, like, 5 minutes later, I was on stage, because, like, probably, like, so under shock that I didn't really realize what was going on. I just went on stage, like, yeah, whatever. And, like, the next day, I was like, what's going on? But, like, stuff like that was happening, and we've never had the time to think about what was happening there, you know? Like, and so the last tour, like, the last show, we drove home. I remember that. We were driving through the night, kind of like, couldn't wait to be home again because it's been such a long time. And what we did was we loaded everything from our stinky tour van into the studio and pretty much started recording, like, writing and recording right there and then. And that's kind of what Home is a Heartache is about. I mean, that whole album, the whole vibe is about being on tour, you know. There's songs like On These Roads I'll Die and stuff like that. You know, it all kind of captures the stuff that was going on. And Home is a Heartache means basically that was home for us. It was just that heartache. It was just that place that almost doesn't exist anymore. You know, it's
yeah.
just that little fantasy that you're, like, have in your mind that you, like, when you go to bed, like, think off for, you know, that only exists in your little iPad when you Skype home, you know? It kind of is. I mean, luckily there is something like Skype and stuff. Kind of helps a lot. But still, I mean, it's just this place that's just really, really far away. And all of a sudden you catch yourself saying all this stuff that you hear from, like, truckers at, like, gas stations, you know, like, stuff like, yeah, you know, like, All These Roads I'll Die and stuff like that. I mean, it's kind of a trucker thing to say, but all of a sudden it becomes real.
Absolutely. I like, what I like most about you guys is, like, when, with your music, And your name is so fitting because it's like with your music, it almost it feels so it's so vivid. It's like I'm watching a movie, but with my mind and my ears, you know. It's
yeah.
It's so vivid. The things you guys sing about, it's amazing.
Oh man, love to hear that. Yeah.
So I know that you've toured a lot, both over in Europe and also here in America. This is kind of a weird question, but are you burnt out with touring?
Burnt out?
Yes, sir.
No, not at all. No, no, that's why we're doing this. Actually, you know, this is why we're doing. We just need the road. It's really like that, and I'm just like I said. I'm so used to it. I grew up on the road. You know, I grew up in a tour bus. So I don't know anything else. It's been like that my whole life, and I love that. No, that's the best thing. Are you kidding me? Like, me with my best friend and my dad, who is also my best friend, in a tour van, and then, you know, like, we have all of a sudden I have friends everywhere. You know, like, I have friends in London. I have friends in Barcelona. I have friends in L.A. and San Francisco and you know, like all over these places, in New York, all over the place, you know, like, and stuff like social media too. I mean, you can say all these bad things about them, but like, it just, you know, it keeps you connected.
Right.
I one moment, like, for example, like we're playing in Albuquerque. I go into the club and there's this guy waiting there that I've never met before, but like, he was really nice. Like when he commented on the photos and stuff like that. And all of a sudden, you know, like, next moment, you become super close friends and have dinner together and stuff like that. You know, all that stuff kind of keeps you connected. And that's, you know, like, that only touring can give you this kind of stuff, you know?
Right, that's right. Yeah, you really get to meet and connect with people, you know, something.
Yeah,
that, you
know, totally.
That's awesome. I know that your new album, Home is a Heartache, drops March 10th. Do you have a tour in support of that album already planned out, or is it still under wraps?
It's all happening right now. All that booking is going on. It's been crazy. I can't even get a hold of it. Like, they've been just, like, throwing all these dates at us. I know that there's a European tour happening right after the release. Really excited about that. And that's all over Europe, and then we'll come back to the States, and then there will be a bunch of festivals in Europe again, and there's so many new territories coming in too. Like, I don't even know, you know, like, I'm just the kind of guy, like, just throw it at me. I don't care, you know, like, I just want to go there, you know, I want to explore it. And we're also not the kind of people that would, you know, like, try to be as late as possible by the club and just stay in the green room. Don't want to see anything, just play and leave. You know, we always try to see as much from where we are as possible and try as much as possible to talk to our audience, you know. Like, we always hang out by the merch booth after the show and, you know, try to learn where we are, you know. Like, are we missing out something? Should we do something tomorrow in the morning with this best breakfast place and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Which is good. I mean, because you're right. That's part of, you know, the package of touring, you know, being able to see these places, you know, all over the world and to connect with people. I mean,
yeah.
That's
no,
it.
Totally. Like, our friends, usually what they do is, like, I'm not criticizing that. Everyone can do whatever they want. But, like, you know, they just kind of party through the whole tour. And I don't even know if they remember anything from that. But, like, I mean, we party too, don't get me wrong. You know, love to celebrate here and there, but nothing wrong with that. But, like, we at the same time, you know, we worked so hard to be here, you know, to do this, to be on tour, and we still don't feel like we've reached the peak, you know. We still feel like, oh, man, there's, like, so much more out there that we can do. I don't want to waste that by not really, you know, like, giving a damn about it and just, you know, just party all day long and not seeing anything. And It's just not our thing, you know. We want to be on point. We want to talk to the people that come to our shows. We want to see what's going on, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Which is a good thing, you know. I mean, I think that's how you really build like a loyal fan base, and you know, I mean, because you see these other bands like Kiss and U2, and I mean, just a slew of bands, you know.
Yeah.
But you've got these people, and it's like people all over the world of all ages love them, you know. And
yeah,
that's how they do it, you know. They connect with their fans. They, you know, create stories. They, you know, live out what they sing about. And so people respect that because there's a realness to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm not doing it out of a business move. I'm really doing it because I feel like it, you know. I seriously want to meet the people. I seriously want to talk to them. It's not like, oh, I need to talk to them so I can sell more shirts. I don't need to talk to them.
No.
But, you know, I know people that are like that.
There are
totally
people like
people
that.
That's why they talk to you. That's all they do. Yeah. I got to go out. I got to sell some shirts. Like, I don't care. I really want to talk.
I hear you, man. I definitely hear you. Well, Finn, I want to thank you so much for just taking this time to do this interview with me. I really appreciate it.
Oh, for sure, man. Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm all out of questions, but I wanted to kind of open the floor to you. If there's anything else you wanted to say to our listening audience?
There's a lot. There's a lot I want to say. But for now, all I want to say is thanks for having an ear. Listen to my bullshit that I was just talking, and hope to see you guys at one of the shows that will come up this year, and don't worry, like, the shows will be quite something. If you're not coming, you're missing out, and because, like, that's what the Picture Books is at first. It's a band you got to see live. We feel like that's what this band is, and also, I mean, I don't want to talk down the album, so we've put all that stuff, all that effort in it, and it's seriously the best thing that I think that we've ever done. And would love to hear your opinion on that. If you want to check out socials, you'll find them, Google them, just Facebook, Instagram, we're everywhere. And let us know what you think of us. And we'll always read it and always comment back if you guys feel like it.
Awesome. Well, Finn, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Oh, man. No, thank you. I appreciate it so much.
You're
and
welcome.
I'll enjoy my day off. It's almost night now here in the desert. Still nice. In Germany, everyone's freezing to death. So I guess I'm doing fine. I'm doing just fine.
Hey, that's always a good thing. I mean, warm weather is much, much welcomed, especially in the wintertime.
Yeah, what's the weather at your place right now?
Yeah, so here in Memphis, today it was 65, and that's actually good because normally, you know, it averages, you know, it's usually in the 20s or the 30s or the teens.
Oh, yeah.
So it's
that's
warm.
That's freezing in Fahrenheit, right?
Right, mm-hmm.
Yeah, because we have Celsius, so I will never get used to the whole 32 or something is freezing, or
uh-huh.
I don't know. Zero is freezing for me, and
right.
I don't know.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it's warm here, which is nice. I'm
nice.
Able
good
to just wear a T-shirt, so
awesome.
It's a nice feeling.
Awesome, awesome. Good for you. Well, I'm in a T-shirt, too, so there you go.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Finn. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. Have a good one. See ya.
You're welcome. You as well. See ya. Guys, that was Finn of the band The Picture Books. Make sure to check out their newest album. It's set to be released on March 10th of this year. If you're listening to this on SoundCloud, go ahead and hit the subscribe button. We're also on your iOS device. If you've got an Apple product, you can listen to us by downloading the Stitcher Smart Radio app. It's available for free in the iTunes store. Download the app, search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. We're also available for Android users via Google Play Music. Just go to the Google Play Music store or search for our show name, Redefining the Counterculture. You can listen to us through your Android products or your PC. And lastly, if you've got a Roku player, you can listen to us in the comfort of your home. We've got over 200-plus hours of original content, programming, and interviews. all free of charge. Just search for us in the Roku channel store.
This is Redefining the Counterculture on Witten Radio. Make sure to check out our website at wittenradio.com.